Welcome back to another episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast. Today we're going to cover a topic that I think all content creators encounter at some point, which is running out of content. Like, how do you have a constant flow of content to keep your viewers, listeners, and subscribers interested in what you have to say?
Yeah, I think this is tough, but I want to start with a caveat because we get this a lot from our newer content creators. If you are just getting started and you're having trouble coming up with content, you need to change the topic of your website.
That's probably true, although on the flip side of that, I would say that if you actually just sit down and think about it, there's actually a lot of topics for practically anything.
Yes, well, so I say after you listen to this, if you still don't have any ideas, you're probably not in the right niche. But this is, I think, something that happens to people even if they're after they've only been writing 6 months or a year. I don't think this is something that's specific to people like us who have been writing for over 10 years.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Although I would say it's mostly newbies that have this question, right?
Yes.
Like, what if I run out of things to say?
Yeah. Although I would say people in my world, like there's a lot of people like me that are like, I have actually said everything. But there's still things you can do to make it work.
I mean, you haven't really said everything. That's just like your excuse for...
I mean, how many casseroles can you make?
I don't know anything about casseroles, but I do know there's a lot of different things that you could make.
You're right? Like, how about you substitute the hamburger for ground turkey?
Like, take my chicken nugget ramen that I made the other day.
Yes. Right? Actually, my son, I actually want to post this on the website, even though it's totally unrelated. He makes a boneless chicken wing quesadilla. So you make a quesadilla, but instead of just putting like cheese or beans or meat, he actually takes like hot wings that are the boneless buffalo bites or whatever, chops them up, puts them in there with like hot sauce, like Monterey Jack cheese, like ranch dressing. It's like the best. It's so good, but it's like, I don't have like 10,000 calories for like one quesadilla, but it's delicious.
I mean, I do that stuff all the time. Like, I'll just take leftover Chinese food and then put some cheese goes with everything.
Yeah,
and then
it does.
I'll put like Kung Pao chicken in a quesadilla and eat it.
See, you need to start a food blog.
Yeah, right.
Well, we were talking before we started recording and you said, I never run out of ideas. And I said, that's because you have a system for coming up with ideas that I don't even think you really think about as a system.
That's probably true. I don't think about it as a system, but mainly I've never enjoyed writing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do it as a means to an end. So there's a constant flow of information just using software tools online, which is basically the way I do it.
You want to talk about how you
you go about it? I mean, the process is really simple, and I can sum it up in like 30 seconds. Basically, I take a look at what other people in my industry are writing about, and then I just put my own spin on whatever the topic is. Because usually these topics are complicated, right?
Yeah. So I think that's one of the big tips that I would recommend for people is that I know once you get into the like content creation and you're working on your business, probably if you used to read a lot of blogs, you probably don't read as many anymore because you take in that free time that you had and you're dedicating it to your business. And I think one thing that you should do is keep reading those top sites that you were reading before, because that's one of the ways that I think is a way to get an idea. And not that you're going to copy what they're writing, but you know what's being talked about. And so you can take your own personal spin on it. And like, it's kind of like in the lifestyle blog, you know, when a certain style is popular, like everyone was doing shiplap a couple years ago. Well, you know, that might be an opportunity for you to do something shiplap that's different. Like maybe you make a shiplap headboard or something that, you know, not everybody's done yet. And then that gives you content to write about.
I mean, here's what I've noticed. And this is just like an unfortunate artifact of Google and marketers. I would say that 80% of the stuff I read out there, at least in the e-commerce space, is written by people who don't know what they're talking about or who have never tried something. They literally just regurgitate. They're probably just hiring cheap writers somewhere who are just regurgitating the stuff out there. So all you have to do is really have done it before and you can put out something better.
Yeah.
So that makes my job a little easier.
Yeah, and one way to do that, which I think is always a very popular piece of content, is to do a case study.
Yes.
And for you, a case study looks a little different. But if you're thinking like, okay, well, I'm a lifestyle site, that doesn't matter. You can do a case study. Like one of my most popular posts to this day is when I tried the Valspar chalk paint. because everyone was doing chalk paint and they were using this certain brand that was really popular, but it's really expensive. It's like $50 for this tiny little can. Well, I noticed that Lowe's, because as you know, I go there every day, had chalk paint for like $25 a can. And I'm like, that's half the price, right? So I was like, well, what if I buy a can of Lowe's, paint a piece of furniture, and basically do a case study in like, how does it compare to this more expensive, exceptionally popular brand that everyone was writing about? Everyone was writing about this really expensive brand. And I was like, well, what if I talk about the Lowe's brand? And I'll be very honest, like, I wasn't working for Lowe's. So I was like, hey, and actually I thought it did a, you know, my opinion was it did a really great job. It was just as good of a quality. I just didn't love the color selection. And that's actually a big deal when you're painting things. But it's an easy way to get content, and at the same time, you're also getting a new piece of furniture. But, you know, side note.
Does Home Depot know that you're talking about Lowe's now? Because before, you were a, right? Home Depot woman. What happened?
That's a whole other podcast.
Is it? Okay.
I'm still a Home Depot girl, but mainly because they're so close to my house. Like, I can almost walk there.
Okay. So, yeah. I like Lowe's better, personally.
I like Lowe's better for fixtures. If you just need straight up like tools or lumber, Home Depot is better, in my opinion.
Lowe's is more helpful. But anyways, we're digressing.
Yes,
here.
Yes. But hey, that's a whole post right there. You could do Lowe's. But that's a comparative post, right? You're running out of ideas? Write a comparative post.
I mean, one thing that I love to do, actually, and this is probably one of the reasons why I'll probably not sell my e-commerce store, is I treat it like a lab so I can do these case studies. Like, if there's a new tool that comes out, I'll just install it on the store and just literally report on the numbers on the blog. People love that.
Yeah. And I've written posts about, you know, vacuum cleaners, and none of this is sponsored. It's all just my own experience. And you, pretty much anything you do in your life that, you know, is related to your topic, you can write about.
Totally. The other thing I was going to say is another good byproduct of doing case study is oftentimes people just give you the tools or the products for free just to do the case study because they want the publicity.
Yeah.
So you win both ways.
Yeah. I didn't get free paint, though. I'm a little upset. But, but this same with the case study, I think the comparative one is similar to the case study, except for you're actually going to try two different things or three different things and compare them. So for you, you could be comparing two or three tools that do basically the same thing, and you can share your opinions on what you like better. For me, I could do a whole post on who's better, Lowe's or Home Depot. I mean, you know.
Right, and then use affiliate links to both.
Yes. Yeah. So anything that you can do where you can compare to products, to services, to, I mean, you could even do, if you're a travel writer, you can compare hotels, you know, go to one city and stay in two different hotels, right? And compare that, or compare airlines, anything. Like, the comparative posts are really easy to write. And there are so many opportunities in those posts, just like the case studies, for affiliate links.
There's this one YouTuber who I follow. She literally writes off all of her vacations because she'll go and she'll stay in the hotel and she'll do a hotel review while she's there, or she'll rate like a car that she just bought or rented as a review, and then she just writes everything off. That's the other side benefit too, I guess, of doing that. Right?
Yeah, I don't want to get into like tax implications of all of that, but I agree though. Like, I see that all the time, and I actually value some of those reviews because when I'm like, so last weekend I was in Sedona. I've never been to Sedona before, and there's a lot of different hotel options, but Sedona is this weird town where it's like they don't have a lot of the major chain. Like, kind of like if you know you're going to go to a Marriott, you have an expectation of how nice they're going to be, or a Hilton. But like, these were all independent hotels, and you'd look at some of the pictures and you're like, that looks pretty much like a motel that they put a fancy sign on, you know? So I started reading all these reviews. I like narrowed it down to like three or four hotels, but then I read and watched videos. And I mean, I think that's really valuable for people if you're going to do obviously unbiased, but creating that content. People love that stuff. Like, I use that all the time if it's something that I'm not familiar with.
Here's the thing about people who don't think they can create any content. You really just have to go outside and just be aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, oftentimes we just kind of go through life just getting what we have to get done without really just kind of observing some of the interesting things that are happening.
Yeah.
One of the things that I actually enjoy doing is people watching. So if I were to ever create like a human psychology blog or something crazy like that, all I would do is just sit in the mall and there's just tons of crazy people.
Yeah.
That I could write about.
You could start your blog by going to Sedona. I literally wanted to start a People of Sedona Facebook page while I was there. Very, very interesting, eclectic group of people there.
I mean, isn't that like the premise of your other podcast that you just recently started back up?
Yes, it's very close to that. But yeah. there's a vortex in Sedona, which I don't know what that means, but it's very important. So, but that's okay. That's my next point, though. So the other thing you can do is explain something in depth to people. So like we can take the vortex where you can go in Sedona, which is a big deal. Like I have no idea what that is. If I wanted to go, I would probably want to read articles on vortexes and educate right. myself. So instead of doing, a lot of times I think you don't do this as much, but a lot of people will write posts where they sort of skim over information, but you can do a super in-depth, 2,000 word post on one topic and just take a really deep dive. And that's great. You can take what would be like four blog posts and you can, or one blog post and make it into four because you're talking in depth about each specific component.
Actually, this is where a keyword research tool really comes in handy, right?
Yes.
Because what are you explaining? You're explaining something that people are searching for an answer for, right? Yeah. So just go to Ahrefs, Uber Suggest, Longtail Pro, whatever you want. Just type in a word.
Yeah.
In your case, it might be like motorcycles.
Yeah.
And I'm sure people yes. will be like, hey, what size motorcycle should I get for a teenager? Or what size motorcycle should I get for a middle-aged woman?
Yeah. Apparently those are the same size bikes, just so you know.
Are they? Okay.
Yes, right. They are.
And then just write a really comprehensive post on it from your perspective.
Yeah. So I think those are, in that way, I think, because a lot of times people think they need to cover lots of different information in one post, but you can really just cover one specific thing in a post and go it really in depth, which will definitely help you for SEO.
Now, you know how I get a lot of my topics these days? And it's something that's...
TikTok.
Well, no, not TikTok. We can talk about TikTok later on. But every time I talk to someone interesting, I instantly come up with like 10 topics. I'll just give you an example. I was just in a mastermind meeting run by my buddy Antonio, who runs Real Men, Real Style.
Oh, and that's the guy?
Yeah. You know Antonio, right?
I didn't
know
that. Yes. I do, but I didn't know that was I didn't know that was the mastermind.
Yeah. So he had like 20 people on. And everyone does things differently. And it just makes you think about different things. And just from that one meeting alone, not only did I get a bunch of podcast guests, so that's content, but I also had all these interesting areas to explore with my own stuff. So I had YouTube tips, TikTok tips, and whatnot. And I'm going to actually try those and then report on the results. And again, I do a lot of these case studies.
Yeah. So another thing to think about, you brought up a good point with like getting podcast guests, is that whatever your niche is, start watching YouTube videos, podcasts, get in the TikTok algorithm for that topic, whatever it is. And because a lot of times I think it might be written, you might think it's already written about, but people on other platforms are probably approaching the subject in a different way. So watching those videos or listening to somebody might spur ideas for you on what to write about because it's a different medium.
Here's another thing that I used to do very early on. I used to just go to the bookstore, and people don't go to bookstores anymore, which kind of ages me.
I do. I was just at one.
Were you really?
Yes.
Okay. There's only one bookstore left here.
Oh, I went to the one in New York that's like, it has 8 miles of books. It's called The Strand. Nice. Yeah. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I would love to go there. But my point is just go and find like in my case, it would be a business book. And then just riff on your take on some of the philosophies.
Yep. That's a great idea.
So Cialdini's book, I haven't done this yet, but I can think of a million instances where I've actually inadvertently used those powers of persuasion to get what I want. And then you could just illustrate those examples.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is another thing that I used to do this, not frequently, I don't know, a couple times a year. Is you can always do an interview in a blog post. So I would do this where it's not quite the same as a guest post because they're not coming in and writing all the content. It's basically like, hey, can I get on the phone with you for 15 minutes or can I send you a list of questions like very specific to the topic that they're an expert on? And I would do this with people who were in similar niches to me, but I didn't have that level of experience. Like one time I remember I interviewed someone who was a military spouse, but she had an expertise in something. I think it was like helping spouses find jobs when they like move to a different location. Like there's all these resources that the military has for spouses when they relocate, because obviously they have to switch jobs. And that was not something that I was familiar with because initially I didn't work outside the home, and then I started working for myself. So I never was able to take advantage of some of those opportunities, but there's these great resources that I had no knowledge of, but I knew my audience would appreciate it. So I basically sent this woman a list of questions and had her, you know, they weren't super long questions. And, you know, she gave me the responses back, and I, you know, it ended up being like a 1,000-word blog post, but it was really informative on how you can transition and find jobs in the new area, or the resources that were available for you to use from the bases.
That was actually a classic tactic from long ago, because if you didn't feel like writing your own content, you just write out a bunch of questions and have them do it.
But I usually tried to find people who could write something that I couldn't write.
I think the modern day version of that is you just do a voice interview, get it transcribed, and just put it on the blog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I say get on the phone with somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And again, I guess the theme of all this for me is I get inspiration from people a lot.
Yeah.
Just going to an event, for example, usually always gives me a ton of different ideas of stuff to write about.
Yeah. And if you're not in your space, like the business space, you can go to any event. Like you can go to the local home and garden show, or you can go to I can't believe all the stuff, like stuff that's starting to like happen again now. And, you know, people are hosting meetups now. And it's like there's so many opportunities to go. And even this weekend, there's six different things that I'm interested in going to. I can't go to any of them because my daughter's birthday, which is fine. But all those things would provide content ideas.
So here's just an example. When I met up with Grant Baldwin, I'll give you some credit for this too.
Okay.
He showed me all of his numbers for his webinars. You weren't there, I don't think, at that
point. I was not, but you were messaging me, letting me know.
And I was like, holy. And so I did it, and it actually turned into a blog post.
Yeah.
Which turned into a YouTube video, which turned into a podcast episode. And it's going to turn into a lot of TikToks very soon, actually.
Well, see, there you go.
Yeah. Another example of this is my buddy Lars. This is a long time ago. He was nagging me to get on Amazon because he was seeing such amazing results. And then finally I did, and the results were amazing. That led to a blog post, that led to a whole section of my class, which led to a bunch of YouTube videos, which are now actually generating a lot of ad revenue for me and leads. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can think of countless times that's happened to me just from talking to somebody.
Well, and that's kind of a segue into something, because you said, you know, you basically made a change and went on Amazon and it gave you all this content. Well, another thing that in that same vein is to some sort of transformation before and after.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's like a weight loss or a project or a renovation or like a revamp on your blog. So maybe you redesign your website and you show the images from before. You talk about what you did. You talk about why you did them. You can do that with just about anything. You know, maybe you fix up your car. Who knows, right? There's so many opportunities basically in every space to do some sort of transformation piece of content, and people eat that stuff up.
That's like your total MO.
Yes. That, I love the transformation.
I know, that's how you do it, yeah.
That one and the next one I want to talk about are my two big ones.
Okay, so the transformation, when I redesigned my website, I turned into a case study where I measured the conversion rate before and the conversion rate after for both mobile, desktop, and that a lot of people were interested in that.
Yeah. Even simple things like, hey, I cleaned out my closet and this is my new wardrobe. Like there's not a niche that I don't think I could think of a transformation post that you could do in it.
What's also nice about transformation post is that it kind of holds you accountable. Like let's say you're like, okay, I'm going to lose 30 pounds in like 2 months or something like that.
Yeah. And that's unhealthy, but sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Like you document that, and that actually makes you follow through on it also.
So I... Not with weight loss, but I did that. I was smart before I got in. I did all my in shape stuff after I wrote about it after the fact. Just in case it didn't work out. I did one year. This was a long time ago, maybe like 2010. And it was every week or something, I was going to clean out like a different section of my house. And I literally like documented it before and after. And the nice thing about that is if, like, with the organizing stuff, you can link to all those Amazon. I mean, Amazon has every organizer in the book. Like, that's just, to me, that's like cash money right now, like promoting all these little organizers on Amazon, because they literally have them for your refrigerator, right? Like, you can get them for any room in your house. And I did that. And like halfway through it, I was like, I'm over cleaning out rooms in my house. Like, I don't want to clean out this closet today. But I had to, because people were like checking in the comments. It was sort of, I made it into like a challenge type thing and like checking in the comments and all this stuff. This is back before I was like doing lead magnets and things, but there were definitely days where I was like, I don't. One day I had a friend come over and help me because I was so over it. I was like, I don't want to clean out anything else today. Like, I'm done. So yeah, I agree with you.
Riveting content. Riveting. Listen, I bet it was all women.
Everybody loves a before and after of a linen closet. I don't care what you say. Okay, this is my other go-to, and this is one of my favorites. Do a checklist.
Okay,
I love checklists.
I know you're big on checklists. Sometimes you just want to get something done just so you can cross it off.
Yes. Right? I got my post-it notes right here.
That kills me, by the way.
Whatever. Right? I don't make you do checklists.
Sometimes that checklist is something that doesn't need to be done, but you just want that thing checked off. But that's a side story.
It's not a side story because people love checklists. So people gravitate to that content. You can, once again, you can do a checklist for just about anything. Want to set up a Shopify store? Here's your checklist. Want to clean out your kitchen pantry? Here's the checklist. You want to detail your car? These are the supplies you need. Here's the checklist of the order you need to do things. Everything in the world can be put into a checklist. People love it. You can create fancy printables. It's an easy way to make a lead magnet. It's just, there's so much goodness in a checklist. And you literally, I know you're like, you don't need a checklist to clean out your closet. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
It's almost like having a checklist to wake up early.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to put that in there, didn't you?
Which is one of Tony's like famous lead magnet challenges.
Yes. Which people love.
Yes.
But the checklist is so nice because people love that content and it's so easy to write because basically you're just doing the steps. I mean, if you want to set up a Shopify site, there's probably 15 steps that you need to do. I mean, I've done it, but I don't, like, if I sat down, I could easily write a checklist of like, hey, this is how you set up a Shopify site.
Yeah, no, I mean, the checklists work really well because at least on Google, it implies that something is quick and dirty too, in a way.
Yes.
Right? You just need to do these things and you're done. It puts it very concisely.
Yeah.
Here's one that I had a buddy do. So this guy, like, he could never come up with stuff on his own, which is, again, the topic of this podcast. But he had a friend who was super creative but had never wanted to document anything. So what he did, all he did was he talked to his friend and just document his ideas on the blog. It was Twitter. And it ended up doing really well.
Yeah, everyone needs that friend that has great ideas but takes no action.
I mean, everyone has interesting friends who have no interest whatsoever in creating content.
Yeah, those are my favorite people. Can you make that recipe? Yeah, I'm going to post about it.
I mean, you could. I mean, you should obviously be upfront with them and say, hey, I'm going to post this.
Yeah, obviously I do.
Yeah.
But I have a lot of friends, especially like in the mom world, who do like amazing party decorations or they make really cool recipes or desserts, and they're never going to have a website. And so I'll always say, hey, can I take some pictures of this and post it? And they actually, most of the time when you ask people that don't live on the internet like we do, as a creator, they're just a consumer, they think it's awesome to be featured or to have their ideas talked about because they're never, that's not what they're interested in. They're doing something else.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to the topic of TikTok because TikTok is like a wealth of ideas. And here's what I like about it. It's quick. Like if you're doing research with like blog posts and YouTube videos, that takes a while because a blog post might take you 10 minutes to read. A YouTube video might be 8 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't have time to watch an entire In fact, that's like a pet peeve of mine. Like if I'm looking for an answer, I got to watch a video to get it. right? However,
scroll to the 2 minute mark. That's where the answer always is. 2 minutes and 33 seconds.
Well, this is why I like Twitter and TikTok. TikTok, I mean, in like 30 seconds, you can get really great ideas. All you got to do, actually, the search on TikTok has gotten so much better. I don't know when the last time you searched on it was.
Recently, and it's a lot better.
In the beginning, it sucked. Now, you could literally just type in something you want, and content will just come out, and you just watch that entire list for that hashtag. And you get a ton of ideas for TikToks to make, for YouTube videos, for blog posts, anything. Twitter is also really good because they limit you to 280 characters.
Yeah.
And everyone has time to read 280 characters. I can get through a ton of posts in a short period of time.
The other one that's good I like is because you can keep the hashtag. So you can have the hashtag in Instagram. You can have the hashtag as one of your following. So you can follow a specific hashtag. So if you know that there's a hashtag that's pretty specific to what you want to write about or talk about, you can just add that to you what you follow, and it just appears in your feed organically.
Ah, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because you can actually see, this is kind of funny, I don't know how you find this because I've just seen it on accident, but you can actually see what hashtags brands follow.
How do you do that?
I'm not sure. Next time I'm on, I noticed it yesterday when I was on the plane, so I didn't have a chance to dig into it because I was getting ready to take off. But basically, like, if you follow a brand, it will show like that they follow certain hashtags. So like usually a brand, they follow the hashtag that's their brand name.
Right.
Right. So Shopify probably follows that. I don't know this, but like they probably follow the hashtag like Shopify stores or something like that. So it also shows. So that's actually a little trick. If you want them to notice you, you just use the right hashtags.
You know, I come to think of it now, another problem that content creators have is not necessarily the fact that they can't come up with content, mm-hmm. but they think that the content is boring and not necessarily worth writing content about, right?
Like this podcast that you said was going to be boring?
Yeah, you know, yes. Actually, okay, so the backstory on that is when Tony proposed this topic, I was like, okay, great. We're going to talk about writer's block for all of about like 2 minutes and then the episode will be over. I actually never really get writer's block, and I'm pretty sure you don't either.
Not really.
So I was like, what are we going to talk about?
Here's the thing about writer's block. I don't think we get writer's block because all these tips that we're talking about right now are things that we have just done organically, not thinking that we're actually curing writer's block by doing these things.
Right. I didn't get to finish my thought. Okay,
sorry.
So it was about the interesting content part, right? Like
yes.
Sometimes I have topics where I'm like, oh God, this is going to be so boring. What you can do is you can use like tools online to help you. You know what's really good? So BuzzSumo is a tool that really just tells you what's being shared socially out there.
Mm-hmm.
But what's even better is I get a lot of inspiration, believe it or not, from like BuzzFeed. Sometimes okay. even at the supermarket checkout line, I'm looking at like covers like People, Cosmo, and all, you know, those magazines. Mm-hmm. And they take like really mundane things and make them really interesting in people's lives.
Yeah, I agree with you. And they also use catchy like little headlines.
Right. So if anything, I mean, I'm sure, Tony, you read it for the trashy articles. But for me,
I absolutely like, read it for the trash.
I actually really admire the headlines that they come up with.
No, I do too. And actually, I always figure the people that are publishing, you know, Cosmo have spent way more money trying to figure out the best headlines than we could ever spend. So it's probably worth experimenting with that type of headline.
Well, okay. So my point is that everything really has been written about already. If you think about it in some shape or form, what makes it interesting is your spin on it and like a catchy headline. I mean, that's what it really boils down to.
So that's another one of my tips on figuring out what to write about is you can always create a reaction piece on something that's trending right now. So that actually worked. I haven't done this in a long time, but this worked well for me early on is whenever there was a news article or something that was, we'll say trending, although I don't know if things were really trending back then that they tracked them, but do you remember when the Extreme Couponing show came out?
Yes.
And they were featuring these families that would, you know, buy $1,000 worth of groceries for 15 cents or something obscene, right? So everyone was talking about it. It was all over Twitter. It was all over Facebook. Like that was just the buzz, right, in those circles. So I wrote a piece basically. It's probably the most negative thing I've ever written on my site. Because I just really disagreed with, I watched a couple episodes of it, and actually some of our friends have been on it, and I did not write this about them at all, but because I actually know what they did with a lot of the things that they got for almost nothing, which is give it away. But you know, there are a lot of people that were like buying it and then reselling it, right, to people and stuff that I felt like was kind of shady. Mm-hmm. So I wrote this reaction piece basically just talking about how wrong I thought everything was and all the things that I thought was wrong with this one specific episode that I watched. And it was a true reaction piece to this one episode. And I went after everybody in the episode, like not by name, but just, you know, why I disagreed with them. And it was all like nice, but it was definitely like a large, it was a lot of disagreement. And that was one of my most popular pieces I've ever written on, like for immediate traffic. You know how a lot of times stuff takes a while to like percolate and get going. But I think that got posted on a couple message boards or something back in the day, because I mean, I think my site went down over this post. But the thing that was important is that, one, I was very honest. Like, I wasn't trying to write a reaction piece for reaction's sake. Like, I was giving my personal opinion about it. And two, like, I didn't really hold anything back as far, I wasn't, you know, like we talk about this all the time, be controversial, be a little bit controversial. Like, I was controversial because I wasn't going to just roll over and ignore what was going on. I thought it was wrong, and I thought they were taking from other people and taking from the stores and hurting overall consumers. And I wrote about it, and people got angry. People loved it. Like, you know, it was very varied. The comments were all over the place, but it worked, and it was a good piece of, it was a solid piece of content. It was probably 2,000 words.
There's people who make a living on YouTube doing reaction videos. I mean, that's literally all they do, and they do it in an entertaining or controversial, you know, controversial content always works, but that's kind of like a double-edged sword, in my opinion.
Yeah, I feel like it's important to be controversial in that you have an opinion, but I think it's, you don't want to be controversial just, you don't want to say things just for like the shock value. I mean, in my opinion, that's not the best way to build a brand. I know people do it all the time, and that's the foundation of a lot of brands out there, but to me, that's not what I prefer.
But again, that's like the same thing. You're just kind of putting your own spin on it.
Yeah.
So, for example, I did a reaction video recently. I actually didn't do that well, but it's worth mentioning. So, Graham Stephan did a reaction video to my CNBC episode.
Yes.
And I did a reaction to his reaction. And so, actually, for, I did two things. One, I did a reaction to my own video because there was lots of, we did 2 days of shooting for an 8-minute video. So, obviously, a lot of stuff had to get left out. And so, I just kind of filled in those blanks. That one actually did pretty well. Mm-hmm. Graham Stephan's reaction to my CNBC episode for him did really well. Several hundreds of thousands of viewers, I think, on that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm just not good at these reaction videos because mine kind of flopped, but you know, he does reaction videos to all the CNBC making
episodes. Yes,
he does. And they all generally do pretty well.
Yeah, I think, I mean, who knows why yours flopped? I mean, that's his bread and butter, I think, for a little bit. He does a lot of them. So he probably knows exactly the right things to say and do to.
Probably. Yeah.
Move the needle.
Yeah. And I'm probably less like in your face, which is sometimes what's required to make some of those reaction videos interesting.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
But I think anytime when you can react to like, especially a piece of current events or something that's happened, you know, a popular topic, anything like that, that's always,
I think that's
like
whenever, important. Yeah.
Yeah. Whenever, was it Marie Kondo, I don't know how to say her last name, came out with that book about, you know, minimalism and everything. Like, everybody, like, that was all in my feed. Everyone's like, has anyone read this book? I'm trying this book. Like, perfect piece of content if you're a lifestyle blogger. Buy the book, read it, write it off, and then write your own reaction. Like, hey, I'm not throwing away everything I own. Or, you know, lots of clutter brings me joy. Whatever it is, right? There's just all sorts of, you have, I think the important thing with reaction videos or reaction content is that it's honest. You can't just make stuff up to get readers. Like, you have to be real with people, but there's just, I think there's always something going on that you can write those pieces of content for.
So this strategy worked really well on YouTube. So for example, one of our mutual friends, during 2020 in the pandemic, everyone was talking about stimulus checks. In fact, it was the number one trending topic if you look at Google Trends. And so he just made a bunch of videos on stimulus, and those, some of those videos got like over 1 million views.
Yeah,
so you hop on a trend, people are all searching for this topic, and then you just make content about it.
Yeah, make good content.
Good content, obviously.
Don't get on the, what is it, the crypto? Don't get on the crypto trend if you don't know anything about crypto. Don't start writing about that.
By the way, on this Marie Kondo thing, like, did you actually read the book?
I haven't read it.
Because I'm just like, you could probably summarize the book in one sentence, right?
Yeah, if it doesn't bring you joy, throw it away.
Yeah.
That's the book. Exactly. I didn't need to read the book.
That
I got the cliff notes.
Side topic, but I've always wondered about books like that. So,
You know, I think, but see, this goes back to the checklist. You can give the overarching philosophy of the book, but most people want, we get this all the time in the blog course. They want step-by-step instructions. Tell me exactly what to do and how to do it. Walk me through, hold my hand. People love that. It's kind of like I climbed this mountain this past weekend, and I actually think going down a rocky mountain is harder than going up it, because it's especially out west, because, well, you know, like there's so much like clay or dirt. So it's like when you put your foot down, you can slip, because it's not just like, and up here, we're just walking through mud, right? Mm-hmm. So to me, it's very nerve wracking to go down a mountain. But I always follow the person in front of me, like where are they putting their feet? And that's where I put my feet, because I figure if they're not slipping, then I probably won't slip either. So that's the same thing. People want to be shown exactly the path. They want to be shown exactly what to do.
All right. Here's a lazy man's way of creating content. Let's get to the juicy stuff. People don't want to do work, right?
Okay.
All you got to do is go around and ask some experts to submit mm-hmm. like a tip about something.
Yes.
Right? And so you go around. All you got to do is say, hey, I'm writing this article, and I want to mm-hmm. feature like the top experts in this area. So flatter them a little bit and say, hey, what do you think is like the top trend for this year in terms of whatever subject you're writing about?
Yes.
They submit it. You just link to them on their Twitter account or whatnot. And just, you can provide guidelines. Say, hey, please make it like at least 300 words or 500 words or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you just publish it.
I actually love those articles.
Yeah.
I like reading them, because it's to me, it's like, thank you. Thank you for putting all the sites that I would normally read into one article, so I can just get the top piece of content and then be done.
And the other byproduct of doing it that way also is just by association to these top experts, you get seen as kind of like a top expert just by association.
Yeah. So here's one if you like to do work.
Everyone's going to tune out after this now.
Yeah. So for people who love work, no. So this is one that I actually think is really helpful. And walk around your block. Get on your treadmill. Whatever your way of just doing something completely away from where you work. So, you know, go for a walk. Bike ride's kind of hard because of what you need to do. But something where you're moving and you're away from your normal environment, and have your notes app on your phone. And basically tell yourself, like, I'm going to walk until I come up with, like, 12 ideas. And literally just in your notes app, as you're walking. Because what's going to happen is as you're walking, your brain's going to start to clear, right? You're going to get some endorphins from moving. And you're going to think about things that you normally don't think about. And so it's almost like, you know how you get all your ideas in the shower? Similar concept. Like, you've removed yourself from your environment a little bit. But I found that, like, all the time when I'm running, I get ideas for stuff. Unfortunately, I'm running, so it's hard for me to, like, sometimes I'll just voice text myself the idea. But I say, like, I would make a goal for yourself. Like, I'm not going to stop this list until I come up with 25. Or if that's too many, do 10. Because think about it. If you can come up with 10, just headlines, right? You don't need to shell out the whole idea. You're just giving yourself, because once you get the headline, you're like, okay, I'm going to write a piece about why minimalism doesn't work. Whatever. Then you can go back later and do all the research and get all your information and figure out what kind of post is it going to be. Is it going to be a checklist? Am I going to do a reaction? Am I going to interview experts? Whatever it is. Once you get those, think about it. If you can come up with 10 ideas, that's 10 weeks of content that you have ready to go.
I'd be thinking, why I hate running. Maybe I should write a piece on that.
Yeah. No. Why I hate running. Why these running shoes suck. Why I don't like living in the state. You get a whole piece of content just off that.
The other gold mine that I have is to listen to podcasts. And the reason why mm-hmm. is because when you're listening to a podcast, there's like a lot of filler stuff. I mean, you're listening to conversations and whatnot. But if you can take like a really good podcast episode and distill it down in a very concise manner, that's always a great piece of content.
Yeah. That's a good one, actually. I like that idea.
So you can actually transcribe it even, make your life easier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I do that sometimes. Like, I'll hear an interesting episode of someone's. I'm like, oh, wow, okay. But there's like all this extra filler that you just got to remove to distill out the three facts that are going to be interesting to people.
Yeah. The last idea I have, and this is one that you'll hate, but that's why I saved it for last, is to just share a story. Now, this is not going to help you with SEO, but it will give yourself a little bit of personality on your site. And I think there's always space for fluff pieces on your web. Not every post needs to be written for Google. But I think if you can tell a funny story or an interesting story or a sad story, it doesn't have to be funny. Just a personal story from your life that's in somehow related to what you write about. I mean, I don't think you can just go completely off topic. But I think those are actually really effective. And that's probably one of the easiest types of pieces to write, because you're really just telling your own stuff.
every fourth post of mine now is what you would call a fluff piece.
Yeah. I feel like you would call it a fluff piece too.
But yeah, I agree. But what's funny about that is I actually find those harder to write.
Okay, I can see that.
Than being factual, right? I mean, you can't argue with the facts, whereas when you're telling a story, it has to be engaging and whatnot.
Yeah.
So if I'm doing a story, usually I'll just dictate that out by voice first and then try to massage that into something. Like, just writing for me just takes a lot longer.
Yeah. And I can see, like, to me, a checklist is easier than a story, but the idea for a story to me comes easier than a checklist.
Yeah, totally agree. All right, so let's wrap this up. If you're listening to this episode and you still feel like you can't come up with any ideas, I think we got problems.
Also, I think you need to just take this episode and write the cliff notes for it, and there's your first piece of content.
Yes.
Ways to but make sure you attribute
to us and link to us.
Link to us.
Tell people to subscribe and listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
Which is where you got the content, which incidentally is the right thing to do.
Yes. Yes. And anytime you do reference somebody else, you need to make sure that you reference that and give them any credit needed.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.